Have you ever ran away, or rather threatened to run away? Well, I remember when I was in early elementary school, I was so upset with my parents that I threatened to run away. Well, my threats even included me packing up a bag, mostly with toys and stuffed animals, maybe a clean shirt, a toothbrush, and the most important item, Mr. Freezies. I mean, it was summer, right? So I needed a way to cool off during this long journey to who knows where I was going to end up. And I remember telling my mom on my way out, "Have a good life," when I walked out the door. And she hollered back to me, "Have a nice summer, Sarah." She had the nerve. And then during my journey, since leaving my house on my own, I thought, how can my parents just let me leave and walk out that door? Especially my mom. Doesn't she love me? She should have begged me to stay. And I walked all the way to our mailbox, which was half a block away, thinking about this. I stopped and realized it really wasn't that hot out as much as I thought it was. And that meant that my Mr. Freezies were surely going to melt before I would need them to cool off. And it was in that moment then that I realized that I didn't have a very well thought out plan for my future. And so I reluctantly turned around and walked back to my house and walked in the door. And the first thing my mom said to me is, "Back so soon?" And then I walked straight into our kitchen, opened up the drawer that held our scissors, and I cut off the top of that Mr. Freezies. And I enjoyed that summer treat. Now, I couldn't tell you why I was so upset with my parents and why I walked a half a block away, but I do know that when we are upset and we throw a fit, it doesn't get you anywhere. But it also showed me that I had parents who were waiting for me when I got back. And instead of getting mad at me, my mom helped me unpack my bag after I finished my Mr. Freezy. And so today we step into this tense and dangerous moment in David's life. Saul, the king of Israel, has turned fully against him. And what began as jealousy has now hardened into a clear intention. David must die. Yet in the middle of this unfolding violence, we see something rather remarkable. God preserving David through unexpected people, quiet courage, and unusual means. So here we are in the story with King Saul and David, a story with a lot of running that is going on. And David had fought in the military and had gained some positive traction, so much so that Saul even anointed him to a high rank in the military. And because of this, David became very popular with the people. And this is where Saul's jealousy starts to grow. So Saul puts a hit on David. However, Saul's son Jonathan warns David about this and tells him to run and hide until he can get Saul to change his mind. And so David does just that. And Jonathan goes and he talks to his father and he changes his mind somewhat momentarily, it seems like. And there's back and forth, but eventually Saul decides that he is going to send people to kill David. And David's wife, Michal, helps David escape from the men sent to kill him. And God sends the spirit to interrupt them and they don't complete their task. And so Saul then decides that he's going to take matters into his own hands. But along the way, God also intervenes and changes Saul's mind to not kill David. So there's so many different layers of this story and to these characters who are on the run. And the first that we're going to look at is Jonathan. He's a close friend to David, but he's also the son of King Saul. And Jonathan stands in sharp contrast to his father. He loves David so deeply and chooses to act that he warns David of the danger and then speaks to Saul on David's behalf. Jonathan doesn't stay silent to preserve his comfort. Jonathan knows what his father's intentions are, and he could stay silent to protect himself, sure. He could choose comfort over conviction, sure, but he risks his standing with his father to defeat and to defend what is right. His words to Saul are wise, and they are grounded in truth. David has been a loyal subject to you. His actions have benefited the kingdom, and harming him would simply be unjust. This is moral courage, advocating for someone it's inconvenient and it's even dangerous for you. And Jonathan shows us then that loyalty to God's ways must come before the loyalty to human power, that of Saul. And when David is running for his life, Jonathan is running then in a different direction. He is running towards truth. And by giving David this heads up and then trying to change his father's mind about David, Jonathan shows us that he is then running from his legacy as the king's son. This legacy of what he would be, a supporter of the right and wrongs of his father. And so he is running instead towards acts of love and friendship and doing what is right. He is building his legacy as that. So Jonathan's not running from conflict. He's running towards what he believes is the right thing to do. And that takes an extraordinary amount of courage, because running towards truth often means risking relationships, speaking when silence would be easier, and standing between power and the vulnerable. And the second person then that's on the run is David. He is literally running for his life. He runs away from his current state to save himself from Saul's order to kill him. However, David is this very successful military leader, and he could fight back instead of running away. But David not doing that shows us that he has restraint. It shows us who his character is, that he has loyalty and a deep trust to God. And his loyalty was driven by this understanding that this anointing that King Saul had received from the Lord. In other words, the Lord was the one who chose King Saul. And David refused to go against God's will. As long as God wanted Saul to be king, David would wait. And he would not take matters into his own hands. And our third person is Michal's role in this unexpected deliverance. When Saul sends men to watch over David's house and kill him in the morning, it is Michal, Saul's daughter and David's wife, who steps in. When danger closes in, she chooses to act quickly. She warns David and she helps him escape through the window and then creates this decoy to buy him some time to get away. Michal doesn't freeze. She doesn't overthink. She moves. She runs towards action, life-saving action. And her actions are bold and creative and decisive. And she uses what she has to preserve life, her husband's life. So God often works through people we might not always expect. Deliverance doesn't always look dramatic or miraculous in the obvious sense. It can come through quick thinking and courage and love expressed in a practical action. There are moments in life when hesitation costs too much, when someone is in danger physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and we are called to respond. And our last person who's on the run is King Saul. Saul openly commands his servants and even his own son, Jonathan, to kill David. This is no longer hidden resentment. It is public hostility. David has done absolutely nothing wrong. He has served faithfully, fought bravely, and honored the king. Yet he becomes the target. And Saul then becomes this person who is running away from the type of king that God has anointed and God wants for God's people. And he ends up running to his demise and destruction instead of God. But it's God's role that is this ultimate undertone in all this running from and running to that's going on in our story. Notice what God does and what he doesn't do. God doesn't stop Saul from becoming angry. God doesn't remove this threat entirely. No, instead, God provides this way through it. David escapes not once, but multiple times, and each time through a different means, a friend, a spouse, a moment of opportunity. And God's protection is often like this. It doesn't always mean the absence of hardship. It means that God's presence is going to be there within it, and God's guidance is going to be there through it. So whatever opposition or uncertainty you may be facing, if you are running from something or needing to run to something, hold on to this. God's purposes are not undone by human hostility. God is still guiding, still protecting, and still making a way forward for you. Now, here's where we have to be honest with ourselves. Not all running is good. Some running is avoidance, running from responsibility, running from truth, running from God's calling. And it's possible to be very active, constantly moving, always changing direction, and still be lost. But David is not just running randomly. His life is anchored in God's calling. Even in flight, he is moving within God's purpose. That's the difference. Running from something without running to God leads to emptiness, but running to God, even when fleeing danger, leads to life. And so all of us are running from something, fear, failure, pain, expectations, and we're all running toward something, success, security, identity, and peace. But the question is, are you running toward God or just away from discomfort? Because there's a difference between those. Running from sin towards God brings freedom, but running from danger towards God brings protection. Running from calling leads to restlessness, and running towards God leads to purpose. And David ran, but his story didn't end in escape. It led to kingship, to calling, to God's greater plan. And so your running also has direction too. The story points us to what type of legacy we want to leave. Is it going to be one that goes against God or one that runs towards God and God's kingdom? Because like Jonathan, we are called to speak truth even when it costs us. Like McCall, we are called to act wisely and protect others when we can. Like David, we are called to trust God when circumstances are unstable and uncertain. And above all, we are reminded that God is always at work, often quietly, often through people, but always faithfully at work. So don't just ask, what am I trying to get away from? Ask, where is this leading me? Because in the end, it's not the speed of your movement that matters, it's the direction of your heart. And so run wisely, run courageously, but above all, run toward God. Amen.